Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. In our study of David, we have seen how David was anointed king of Israel by God when Saul was rejected by God for not obeying him in the death of the Amalekites and consulting a medium that happened immediately before Saul's death. Prior to his death, Saul became increasingly concerned over the rise of David and saw him as a threat to his throne and lineage, where he constantly sought opportunities to kill David. In the end, it was Saul who died at the hand of the Philistines in battle. A good distance away, David was returning from his battle with the Amalekites, where the only survivors were the lucky ones who were able to ride away. David and his men returned with the women, livestock, and plunder, and eventually returned to Ziklag, where they had been staying. 3 days after returning to Ziklag, word got back to David of the defeat of the armies of Israel by the Philistines, along with word that Saul and Jonathan were dead. A man came and found David and fell to the ground kneeling before him, sharing that he had escaped the battle. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass after the death of Samuel, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag, it came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul and with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was, when he came to David, that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, From whence comest thou? And he said unto him, Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, That the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. David wanted to know how this man knew Saul and Jonathan were dead, and the man lied to David. We know from 1 Samuel chapter 31 that Saul took his own life by falling on his spear after Saul's armor-bearer wouldn't kill him. This man claimed that Saul was still alive in agony after falling on his spear and begged this man, an Amalekite, to kill him so he would not be taken alive by the Philistines. This man then went on to explain to David that he killed Saul after determining there was no hope of survival and took the crown and bracelet to bring to David. We have no motivation given to us regarding why this man told a lie to David. Maybe he was hoping to look good and find favor from David by saying he had killed Saul, and it was probably common knowledge that there was a rift between Saul and David. The explanation given by this man and seeing the crown and bracelet was enough for David to realize that Saul and Jonathan were both dead. And this caused David and his men extreme anguish. And they paused from their activities the rest of the day to mourn Saul and Jonathan, and all from Israel who died in the battle. Verse 5. And David said unto the young man that told him, How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And the young man that told him said, As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, Here am I. And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. And he said unto me, Stand, I pray thee, upon me, and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and brought them hither unto my lord. Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. David then asked the man to confirm his nationality, and the man told him he was the child of an Amalekite. David was confounded that this man would kill the king of Israel and instructed one of his men to kill this man because he had killed the Lord's anointed. Verse 13. And David said unto the young man that told him, Whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto them, How wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of the young men and said, Go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, Thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth hath testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. Telling a lie never pays off, and it did not pay off for the Amalekite who lied to David about killing Saul. It's easy to consider lying when we believe we will not be caught in the lie, yet we are not to lie. Paul told us not to lie when giving instructions to the Colossians while explaining that many things that we look at as sin is a form of idolatry, and that as we grow in the Spirit, we are to put away our former actions and live a new life in Jesus Christ. Part of this new life is not to lie. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But know ye also, put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Writing to the Ephesians, Paul tells us to speak the truth with others and put away lying while also avoiding holding on to anger in our lives. In everything we do, we are to be honest in our interactions with other people, focusing on being kind to each other, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another as we are forgiven by God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand that the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use in edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The quality of forgiveness that we are to have for each other is the same quality of forgiveness that David had for Saul. Remember that Saul had tried on many different occasions to kill him. And when David lamented the death of Saul, this lamenting can only come through forgiveness, as evidenced by the lamentation or musical dirge that is attributed to David. As the survivor who could have written history after his preferences, David instead praised Saul as the beauty of Israel, who was slain on the high places, how the mighty had fallen. He added that this tragedy must be withheld from the Philistines, lest they use this bad news to rejoice. 2 Samuel 1, verse 17. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. David went on to add many words to describe Saul and Jonathan, explaining how they were the mighty and pleasant in life, swifter than eagles and stronger than lions. David lamented the death of Saul and Jonathan and felt distress over the death of Jonathan, knowing that Jonathan was a dear and close friend. Verse 21. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet, with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished? Forgiveness is not only a quality David had, it is a quality we must have. Colossians gives us a pathway to forgiveness, and this pathway begins with being merciful. Instead of seeking vengeance when we are wrong, an easy way to think of mercy is to choose not to seek vengeance when we are wronged. Along the path to forgiveness is the need to be kind, humble, meek, and patient, not only putting up with others, but forgiving others when we are wrong, because it should be firmly in our mind that Jesus Christ forgave us. Beyond forgiveness is charity or love, which allows the peace of God to rule in our hearts. Encompassing all of this is an attitude of gratitude or thankfulness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. David had many opportunities to take the life of Saul, as many or more than the times that Saul sought to take David's life. And David knew not to repay evil for evil. David sought as much as possible to live peaceably with all men, and when needed, was able to defend himself. He never gave himself permission to avenge wrongs committed against him, nor did he tolerate others taking vengeance for him. Instead of seeking vengeance, David would seek to overcome evil with good, much like what is recorded for us in Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. David was a person who did not seek to repay evil with evil. While able to defend himself, he sought peace, even in the words he would say. He did not curse Saul, and in his lamentation offered words which would be more of a blessing. Peter wrote of these qualities in 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. After mourning the loss of Saul and Jonathan, David asked God if he should return to Judah. And when God indicated he should return to Judah, David wanted to know to what city, and God told him Hebron. David departed from Ziklag, living among the Philistines along with his wives Ahinoam and Abigail, along with the men who fought with David. 2 Samuel 2, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. And David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Once in Hebron, the men of Judah came to David and anointed him king over the house of Judah. They shared with David that it was the men from Jabesh-Gilead who buried Saul. And once David understood how these men had helped the legacy of Saul by claiming and burying his body, he sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead to thank them for their act of kindness. He also used the messengers to tell these men he was now king over Judah. Verse 4. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and said unto them, blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because ye have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. Abner, Saul's captain, had other ideas about who should be ruling, and made Ishbosheth, Saul's 40-year-old son, king over the remainder of Israel. Verse 8. But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. With two kings, David of Judah and Ishbosheth of Israel, the future of the country was not fully settled. This led to a meeting between Abner and Joab. Abner suggested a fighting contest, and the men that were with them squared off and began fighting. And the men with Joab aligned to David eventually killed the men aligned with Abner and Ishbosheth. And Abner the son of Ner and the servants of Ishbosheth the son of Saul went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon. And Joab the son of Zeruiah and the servants of David went out and met together by the pool of Gibeon, and they sat down, the one on the one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men now arise and play before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." Then there arose and went over by number 12 of Benjamin, which pertained to Ishbosheth the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And they caught every one his fellow by the head, and thrust his sword in his fellow's side. So they fell down together. Wherefore that place was called Helkath Hazarim, which is in Gibeon. And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David. After the fight, Asahel, the fastest of the sons of Zeruiah, pursued Abner, who tried to talk him into stopping the pursuit. Asahel persisted, and eventually Abner killed him with his spear. Others in pursuit came across Asahel's dead body and stopped. Verse 18. And there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab, and Abishai, and Asahel. And Asahel was as light of foot as a wild roe. And Asahel pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Art thou Asahel?" And he answered, "I am." And Abner said to him, "Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to the left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor." But Asahel would not turn aside from following of him. And Abner said again to Asahel, "Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab thy brother?" Howbeit he refused to turn aside. Wherefore Abner with the hinder end of the spear smote him under the fifth rib, for the spear came out behind him. And he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died, stood still. The brothers of Asahel, Joab and Abishai, continued the pursuit of Abner and his men until after dark, until men from Benjamin came as reinforcements for Abner, and there was a standoff at the top of the hill. Abner asked Joab if he wanted more men to die. And Joab, after exchanging more words with Abner, blew a trumpet, and the men pursuing Abner stopped their pursuit. Verse 24. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down, and they were come to the hill of Ammah that lieth before Gibeah by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. And the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner, and became one troop, and stood on the top of an hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, "Shall the sword devour forever? Knowest thou not that it will be bitterness in the latter end? How long shall it be then, ere thou bid the people return from following their brethren?" And Joab said, "As God liveth, unless thou hadst spoken, surely then in the morning the people had gone up every one from following his brother." So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and pursued after Israel no more, neither fought they any more. With the pursuit over, Abner and his men returned to Mahanaim. In the fight, 20 men from David, including Asahel, died, and for Abner and his men, 360 died. Azahel was buried in Bethlehem in the sepulcher of his father, and Joab and his men returned to Hebron. Verse 29. And Abner and his men walked all that night through the plain and passed over Jordan, and went through all Bithron, and they came to Mahanaim. And Joab returned from following Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there lacked of David's servants 19 men and Azahel. But the servants of David had smitten of Benjamin and of Abner's men, so that 300 men died. And they took up Azahel and buried him in the sepulcher of his father, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at break of day. The battle prompted a larger war between the house of Saul and the house of David. And as the battles went on, David and his men became stronger, and Saul and his men became weaker. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. In Hebron, 6 sons were born to David: Amnon, Chileab, Absalom, Adonijah, Shephatiah, and Ithream. Verse 2. And unto David were born sons in Hebron. And his firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and his second Chileab of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite, and the third Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur, and the fourth Adonijah, the son of Haggith, and the fifth Shephatiah, the son of Abital, and the sixth Ithream by Elgala, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. As the fighting continued, Abner became more powerful within the house of Saul, and took to himself Saul's concubines, and this made Ishbosheth angry, who challenged Abner. And Abner told Ishbosheth that he needed to be kinder to him, because he could have delivered him to David at any time, and chose not to do so. Abner called on God to transfer the kingdom to David, so David would be king of Israel and Judah. Ishbosheth never challenged Abner again. Verse 6. And it came to pass, while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, that Abner made himself strong for the house of Saul. And Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, the daughter of Ahiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Wherefore hast thou gone into my father's concubine?" Then was Abner very wroth with the words of Ishbosheth, and said, "Am I a dog's head, which against Judah do show kindness this day unto the house of Saul thy father, to his brethren and to his friends, and have not delivered thee into the hand of David, that thou chargest me today with a fault concerning this woman? So do God to Abner, and more also, except as the Lord hath sworn to David, even so I do to him, to translate the kingdom from the house of Saul, and to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah, from Dan even to Beersheba." He could not answer Abner a word again, because he feared him. Abner sent messengers to David to see if he could make a deal with him to give him the remaining lands of Israel. David told the messengers that a deal was possible if Michal, Saul's daughter, was brought to him at the meeting. David then sent messengers to Ishbosheth asking for the return of his wife, and Ishbosheth took Michal and returned her to David, and this caused Phaltiel, her husband, to follow her in tears to Bahurim, where Abner told him to return. Verse 12. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, "Who is the land?" saying also, "Make thy league with me, and behold, my hand shall be with thee to bring about all Israel unto thee." And he said, "Well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face." And David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, saying, "Deliver me my wife Michal, which I espouse, to me for 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. And her husband went with her along, weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner unto him, "Go, return," and he returned. Abner then spoke to the elders, extolling the virtue of having David as their king, and then came to David in Hebron to tell him he had secured support so that David could be king over all Israel and Judah. Verse 17. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "You sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then do it, for the Lord has spoken of David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies.' And Abner also spake into the ears of Benjamin, and Abner went also to speak in the ears of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel, and that seemed good to the whole house of Benjamin. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto him, 'I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth.' And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace." While David trusted Abner, Joab felt Abner was only trying to deceive David, and without David's knowledge, sent messengers to Abner to return to Hebron, and killed him for revenge, because it was Abner who killed his brother Azahel. Verse 22. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop, and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with him were come, they told Joab, saying, "Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he is gone in peace." Then Joab came to the king and said, "What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest." And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah, but David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died, for the blood of Azahel his brother. David was upset that Joab killed Abner, and proclaimed that the death of Abner was solely at the hands of Joab, and not David's kingdom. Verse 28. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, "I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and all the father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread." So Joab and Abishai his brother slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Azahel at Gibeon in the battle. David made Joab and the men who were with Joab mourn the death of Abner, which had cost David great pain. To reunite the kingdom, he needed to make clear that the death of Abner was not the act of David, but the act of a rogue actor who deserved punishment for the evil that was caused. Verse 31. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, "Rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth, and mourn before Abner." And King David himself followed the bier. And they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented over Abner, and they said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou." And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David sware, saying, "So do God to me, and more also, if I taste bread or aught else, till the sun be down." And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the son of Zariah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. When Ishbosheth found out that Abner was dead, he became too scared to take any action, and a panic started in Israel. Some of the palaiolists fled to Gidim. Those who stayed behind killed Ishbosheth, the king of Israel, who was still sleeping in his bed at noon. They severed the head and took it to David, probably hoping to gain favor with David. David was not pleased that Ishbosheth, in David's mind, a righteous person, was killed in his own bed. He had these men killed by his men. 2 Samuel 4, beginning with verse 1. And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble, and all the Israelites were troubled. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of the one was Benah, and the name of the other, Rechab, the sons of Rimmon, a Beerothite, of the children of Benjamin, for Beeroth also was reckoned Benjamin. And the Beerothites fled to Gidim, and were sojourners there until this day. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. And the sons of Rimmon, the Beerothite, Rechab and Baanah went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. And they came thither into the midst of the house, as though they would have fetched wheat, and they smote him under the fifth rib. And Rechab and Baanah, his brother, escaped. For when they came into the house, he lay on his bed in his bedchamber, and they smote him, and slew him, and beheaded him, and took his head, and gat them away through the plain all night. And they brought the head of Ishbosheth unto David to Hebron, and said to the king, Behold the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, thine enemy, which sought thy life. And the Lord hath avenged my lord, the king, this day of Saul, and of his seed. And David answered Rechab and Baanah his brother, the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, and said unto them, As the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all adversity, when one told me, saying, Behold, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good tidings, I took hold of him and slew him in Ziklag, who thought that I would have given him a reward for his tidings. How much more, when wicked men have slain a righteous person in his own house upon his bed? Shall I not therefore now require his blood of your hand and take you away from the earth? And David commanded his young men, and they slew them and cut off their hands and their feet and hanged them up over the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the sepulcher of Abner in Hebron. With no king of Israel, David would now become king over all Judah and Israel. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.